I wanted to talk about, because it's Canada Day, and I'm not a guy necessarily to, you know, to plan messages around holidays. But I really felt like God was talking to me about our citizenship. Okay? Don't worry, I'm not going to get political. Okay? The Bible's got a lot to say about citizenship, believe it or not. Okay? And not in a way that you may think. And again, I'm not getting political here, but I think we live in the greatest country on earth. Don't say amen, okay? Please, I'm coming to something here. I think we live in the greatest country on earth, and if you don't think so, you probably haven't traveled much, okay? If you travel a lot, you realize how unbelievably blessed and how wonderful this country is. But it's only the greatest country because it's on earth. That's not saying much, okay? When people say, we live in the greatest country on earth, believe me, that's not saying much. It really isn't. And it's only people that have their citizenship in heaven, okay, that understand what it means to know Christ and to see Him working in their lives. They're about the only ones that can say, yeah, greatest country on earth. Yeah, well, so what? That's not much, you know? And I don't mean to be cynical, and I'm going to trust, and people pray for these meetings that, you know, that I won't say anything that will tick you off. Well, yeah, if it ticks you off for a good reason, that's good, you know, but I've had people come to me over 36 years of pastoring and said, first time I heard you, I wanted to punch you in the mouth. And oh, I've had that often, you know, and God was getting to them, you know, and I'm not saying I'm God, because God can use anybody, you know, but sometimes when God confronts people and starts doing amazing things, it's not always a good thing at the beginning. It's kind of like, whoa, you know? One of the things that we really want to see happen here is that we encounter God for who He is and not who we think He is, okay? You can't put God in a box. You can't decide that this is the way I'm going to live. I'm going to pray so God blesses the way I'm going to live. He doesn't work like that, okay? It's thy will be done, and if it's not, then He says to everybody else, okay, have it your way. And man, when you have it your way, outside of Him, you got a mess. You can impress a lot of people. You can go a long time, but eventually it's going to catch up with you, and you're going to realize, okay, something's wrong here. Something's really wrong here, okay? That's why when I think about living in the greatest country on earth, I remind myself, and please, I don't mean this in a cocky way. If it comes off, that's not what I'm intending to. I'm a follower of Christ first. I'm a citizen of heaven first. Then I'm a Canadian. You hear a lot of talk about hyphenated Canadians, okay? Like German Canadian, French Canadian, Native Canadian, Syrian Canadian, African Canadian, okay? I'm a Christian Canadian. I'm a hyphenated Canadian. Now, when I use the term Christian, okay, please, we got it. When you read the Bible, you got a different definition of what a Christian is than what everybody thinks a Christian is. It is not what everybody thinks it is, and hopefully we can get to that a little bit this morning, okay? You've heard me say, and if you haven't, maybe this will be fresh for you, no one ever went to heaven whose heart wasn't already there first. Have you got that? Nobody ever went to heaven whose heart wasn't already there first. So I ask you, and I ask myself, you ever long for heaven? Yeah, Nick and Alex, you won't. You're too young for that. But, I mean, well, maybe, I don't know. Like, usually when you get in, you're like, I don't know. You long for heaven when things are not going well, you know? You long for heaven when she dumps you. You long for heaven when you go bankrupt. You long for heaven when you've been given that diagnosis that's not good, you know? But people who have Christ in their life, it's hard to describe. We just want to be with Jesus. Like, God, I'm tired of talking to you without being able to see you. You know, God, like, I'm pretty thick-headed. I need you to talk to me directly, okay? Like, I know I got your word. That's good. You know, I'm thankful for it. But, and it's not that I don't care about streets of gold. I don't care about, in fact, I was joking. And a lot of you have been to my house. I live in a nice house, okay? And somebody was jogging. Praise God. It's a blessing of the Lord. And it's His house. And somebody was jogging by our house about 3 weeks ago. And like I said, it's a nice neighborhood. And she yells out, beautiful day. I said, yeah, when I die, I want to come here. You know, I don't need a mansion. I don't need that kind of stuff. But I need Jesus. I don't care where you live. If you don't have Jesus, you can be in poverty, okay? And we long for Christ. Now, problem is, if you long for heaven, you got to die to get there, okay? Which is, you know, unless, and then the Bible talks about the coming of the Lord, and that's not a bad thing. But here's a verse, I don't know if you've ever noticed this one. This is really good. Now there is in store for me, this is Paul. He's writing to his apprentice Timothy, like the next guy. He's training this guy to be a good pastor. And he's just a few years before he dies. He's older now, okay? Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And look at this. And not only to me, but also to all who long for his appearing. Okay? I think that's an aspect. I think that's an evidence that God really is living in your life. If Christ is really Lord of your life, there's, I want Jesus to come. Now, I understand the single people, you know, that want to get married first, like Josh and Hannah. No, not yet. You know, and like, I got that, okay? Everybody, you know, but listen, you'll grow past that, you know, and your marriage is going to be great. I know that, okay? It's going to be exciting and all that. Look, I was worse than anybody for that. I was convinced, you know, that you know, especially after Heather and I got engaged, I was convinced, like, you know, we'd do the whole wedding thing and we'd hit the hotel for like the wedding night, eh? And I'd put like the, I'd put the key in the door, and as soon as I put the key in the door, da-da-da-da, up we go. No, it doesn't work that way, okay? You guys that are visiting, you haven't heard preaching like this before, have you? I can't get away from that, though. When that's happening in your life, you know Jesus is really Lord. And I get that way when I'm watching the news. When I hear more about, well, I don't watch the news anymore. It's too much of a downer. But I am on Twitter. I go on Twitter and I see all like the fresh stuff going, oh, God, sometimes I got to go pray after. It's so bad. It's just bad. Okay? And I live, and think about that. Bad. I long for his appearing. And in spite of all that, still the best country in the world. But it's the world. That's the problem. Okay? It's the best country in the world. That's not saying much. Here's another one I want to show you. Hebrews 11. All these people, now the context of this, he's talking about great heroes of the faith that accomplished great things in history. Okay? And he says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive, oops, didn't mean to do that. That's passports. We'll get to that. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, look at this. Therefore, in fact, God loves everybody, but look what it says about this bunch. Therefore, God's not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Okay? People who belong to Christ, we long for a better country. Okay? Now, you can't get to a country without a passport. Heather's new tank for her motorcycle arrived in Ogdensburg yesterday. Okay? No, Saturday. No, Friday. Friday, yeah. So I had to drive down. I'm thinking, and as I'm driving down the 416, I'm driving down to Augsburg. I'm thinking, hey, great, it's Friday afternoon, June the 30th, and I'm going to the border. Oh, my goodness, what a dumb time to be going to the border. Okay, I'm just thinking, oh, no, you know, and I drive in, and sure enough, you know, when you go to Ogdensburg, you see them coming through the Canadian side, and they're lined up right to the bridge. I mean, all the way down, oh, God, you know, please, you know, like, and I've got my phone and all my stuff that you have in your car that when boredom hits in your traffic jam, you got radio, I've got the iPhone, and I can go online and listen to the, you know, the apps and everything. And I go get the thing, and I got to pull the passport out, right? Okay? You forget the passport, you don't get in. Well, sorry, go home and get it. That's what they'll tell you, okay? And you, some of you have probably been where you go to the airport and you, I forgot my passport! That happens. You have to have the passport, okay? Then I got the tank and I came back and by the time I came back, there was no line. It was like God answered my prayer. It was like unbelievable, okay? You don't get a passport. You got to go through the rigmarole. They got to take your picture. You're not allowed to smile, you know? That's weird, eh? And like, you got, look your ugliest. Click. Okay, that's good. Okay, that's that. And you know, you ladies are terrible with your passport photo. No, 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 no. Let me see. No. I look terrible. Everybody, I look terrible. Okay? Everybody says that about their passport. And you pay, what is it now? It was $75 last time I resigned. I think it's $125 now, isn't it? Isn't that crazy? It's like they don't want you to leave the country, you know? That's what they did in the communist countries, you know, made it sure they couldn't leave, you know? Anyway, okay? So, you have to prove that you're a Canadian. What's your citizenship? You know, and they ask you questions. So I'm thinking, okay, passport, better country, heaven, you know? If I was arrested, be enough evidence to convict me. That's a good line. If you were arrested, hey, it may come to that. You know, with the way they do, they're rejigging the hate crime laws. It's not going to be too long before you can't quote from the Bible anymore because it's considered hate literature. Because it calls, you can't call that sin. I was born that way. Well, I was too, for crying out loud. But I'm not going to go around saying, this is my sin and I love it. This is my sin and I love it. You know what I mean? I'm a porn addict. I'm an adulterer. I'm a thief, you know. I'm a greedy so-and-so. Oh, ego, you have no idea. I celebrate my sin. Sorry. Okay? Doesn't go that way. Okay? Okay? So that may become a reality in the next little while. And you know, Canadians, we you know, you guys don't know this. Kyle, you do because you go to California a lot. Okay. You don't know this, but we stick out like sore thumbs in the States, don't we? They tell us that we have accents. What do you mean I got an accent? I don't know. No, you're so Canadian the way you say those words, you know? We don't even know, you know? You go down there and we stick out like sore thumbs. We do. We do, okay? You've heard some of these, okay? What does a Canadian say in a New York subway when you step on his foot? Sorry. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, okay. A Canadian is an unarmed American with health care. This is how they see us, okay? They see themselves, and you guys that understand sociology, you're going to get this. The rest of you just pretend you know, and people think you're smart, okay? Down in the States, they see themselves as a melting pot. They see us as a tossed salad, okay? I'm not kidding you. Okay, that's the way they see us, okay? The difference between a canoe and a Canadian. A canoe tips. Think about it. Took a while. Okay. Why don't Canadian women wear sleeveless dresses? Remember, this is the Americans, okay? Why don't Canadian women wear sleeveless dresses?
They don't have the right to
bear arms. Yeah, you got the right to bear arms. Thank you. Coming from someone with a sleeveless top this morning. Thank you, Roz. God bless you. Okay. How do you get a bunch of Canadians out of your swimming pool? This is how you do it. You say, would you all please kindly get out of the pool now? Okay. They're gone right away. Okay. You know you're Canadian when your municipality buys a Zamboni before a bus. You know you're Canadian when you know all the words to If I Had $1 Million by the Bare Naked Ladies. Some of you aren't real Canadians. You can sing O Canada in French and you actually know what the words mean. You know you're Canadian when you're excited whenever an American television show mentions Canada. Oh. You know you're Canadian when you know that Casey and Finnegan are not a Celtic rock band or an imported beer. You know who Foster Hewitt is. You pity people who have never tasted a beaver tail. You have Canadian Tire money in your kitchen drawers or glove compartment. You know the last letter of the English alphabet is always pronounced Z. You know how to pronounce and spell Saskatchewan. You have worn shorts and a parka at the same time. You perk up when you hear the theme song from Hockey Night in Canada. The trunk of your car doubles as a freezer, often. Now think about it now, okay? I should have had that on before. I didn't do the, there's all the slides. Dudley Do Right, Maple Syrup, and Tim Hortons, and Baba Doug. Okay. Now, let me see what the next slide is. Let's see if I got this right. Okay. Now, I just, you know what I did there. You've all heard that you might be a redneck if, okay? Well, you might be a Canadian if. I wonder what that would sound like if you might be a Christian if, okay? Now, not what everybody thinks, because, oh, there are all sorts of lists on the internet like you wouldn't believe. You might be a Christian if, and they are not flattering at all. Because we've got a bad reputation. Because Christians have done a lot of bad things. They've done a lot of dumb things, okay? Stupid things. So when I talk about Christian, I hope it doesn't go without saying that in Acts 11:26, that's the first time, that was 10 years after the resurrection, the first time the term Christian is ever used, okay? And I've explained this to the crew that, you know, that's been with me for a while. The biblical term for a Christian is you think like Jesus, you talk like Jesus, you have the priorities of Jesus, you're obsessed with Jesus. And they gave them the derogatory term. Who do these people think they are? Little Jesuses? That's what the Greek word Christos means. And that's where we got the word Christian from. So the original term Christian meant little Jesuses, imitating, like just so much like Jesus. Who do they think they are? They thought it was pretentious of us to imitate and follow Jesus that in that compulsive, obsessed way. That's what a biblical Christian is, okay? So if we took that whole method, I guess, of comedy, that shtick of, you know, you might be a Christian if, and I don't mean to be funny here, if it's funny, okay? You might be a real Christian, a biblical Christian, if you actually read the Bible, if you pray, you don't memorize prayers. You pray. I run into people, it's kind of cute, you know, they come from a religious background. Could you say a prayer for me? Like, what have I got, magic prayers? And, oh, that was a good prayer. You know, like, it's almost like, well, there's good ones and there's bad ones. Now, that's true. There's good ones and bad ones, okay? I don't know if there's any bad ones, but there's good ones. There's ones that are better than others, okay? But prayer is not get the right prayer and things will happen. Prayer is just what you'll talk to God. Can you imagine me having a lot of good rehearsed lines for my wife? You know, 3 fun months of marriage, she would have packed that in. Forget it, man. Okay? This is a relationship with the Lord. So a real Christian, they pray. They don't memorize good prayers. And there's nothing wrong with good prayers, okay? But if you're going to pray them, they got to be real. They got to be yours, okay? You might be a Christian if you give a lot of money away and you don't feel stupid about it. You might be a real Christian if you've had to love somebody and be kind to someone that you'd rather not love. You'd rather not be kind to, but you do it. You might be a real Christian if you know what tithing is. I got to get this bumper sticker. You know, if you love Jesus, tithe, anybody can honk. I like that. I like that. You might be a real Christian if you get uncomfortable when you hear Christ's name used in vain. I don't mean to be a wet blanket, and I hope you, when it happens, you're not on the workplace or in school. Hey, you know, like, don't be that person. Better to just wince on the inside. Yeah, you know, yeah. You might be a Christian if you've fantasized more than once about throwing a brick at your TV because of something that attacked your faith. Okay, you know, it's okay to think that way because, you know, there is a place for anger. Jesus said, in your anger, do not sin, okay? There is a place. There's something should make you angry. The Bible says you're supposed to hate sin, so, okay? You might be a Christian if you find it really, really, really hard to lie. Even when you know you're going to get in trouble from telling the truth. Okay. You might be a real Christian if you go to Christ Church. Now, everybody knows this one. Okay, look at this scripture. You all know this. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have loved one another. Too many people read that scripture and they think that's all there is. Well, as long as they love one another, that's all that matters. You know, you're right. It's top priority. It's more important than anything. I get that. But I'm going to show you some scriptures that this is all, what's a Christian? What's a real biblical Christian? Because back then when Jesus was talking, he didn't use the term Christians. He used the term disciples. Not once did Jesus say, you need to be a Christian, but he did use the term disciples. In other words, you are a true follower of me if you love one another. We all know that one, but boy, look at some of the other stuff he said here. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Wants us to be productive, okay? So, okay, it's love, that's priority, but hey, I want you to be productive, okay? What does that mean? What are you doing with your life, you know? Is God getting any glory out of your life somehow? Well, John, you know how much of a loser I am. A lot of you know how much of a sure I am. And I'm telling you, okay, God can do anything when you simply say, hey, help me with this. He listens to that prayer. He takes that prayer seriously, okay? Look, there's more. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Well, I thought all we had to do was live and then live like the devil. Okay? No, it's hard to look at. I get it. You read 5, 6, 7, and 8. That's a Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus laid, that's the gospel. That's the Christian life. That's our priorities. You want to know it all? Been 4 chapters condensed right there. Matthew 5, 6, 7, 8. It's a Sermon on the Mount. Okay? Nobody in the world can pull that off. Nobody can live that life. There's no way. In fact, when Jesus did that, I'm sure he was kind of smirking because, oh, they're never going to be able to do this without me. No way. Okay? But that's how much he loves us. Because he wants us to come to him. He expects us to live that life because he knows that if he is living in us and if he becomes in and comes in and becomes Lord, we will be able to live that life. So that whole thing of the Sermon on the Mount, that's an invitation for people to follow him and be transformed by him so they can live that impossible life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In John 15, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. I think there's another one here. In the same way, those of you who do not... Okay, I better back up here, okay? Just a second. I'm going to lose half the church here, okay? You're all going to leave and say, I'm not coming back again, okay? Before you think like that, remember, this is Christ's church. This is what he said. And this is a tough pill to swallow, and I'm almost afraid to put it up there, okay? But look what he said, okay? In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Yeah, I live in a nice house, God. You know? Yeah. I got 6,000 Hot Wheels, God. I mean, like, I just lost half the crew there that's new here. Look at that. And we're kind of giggling because, you know, it's easier to kind of stomach truth if you kind of go, He said that. Christ said that. You can't get around that. Okay? Now, there's a lot of people candy coat and want to make the way easy. There's nothing easy about that. Okay? Well, he didn't mean it literally. I wouldn't go to him and say, you don't mean that literally, do you, Jesus? Oh, man, you're setting yourself up for a rebuke right there, boy. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Jesus, you don't mean that literally, do you? I'll bet he facepalmed a few times. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Now, I look at that and I go, oh, man. What am I going to do about that? And I'm not saying I'm right here, okay? But I'm not going to fake it either, okay? This is where I'm at, and this is where I handle this. And I know there are people in this room that are handling it better than I am. I know that, okay? Because you can't get around that stuff. And we depart from biblical Christianity to North American churchified garbage when we ignore this verse, okay? I can't ignore this verse. So let me tell you who I am. I am the rich young ruler who's kind of feeling like I haven't got there yet. And I go to Jesus and I say, what must I do to be saved? He says, well, you know the law, John. I mean, come on, you're a preacher's kid. You lived your whole life. You know, yeah, I've been living it all my life. I never went into rebellion or anything like that. I never did drugs or anything. He said, John, one thing you lack, okay? You need to sell everything you have and come and follow me. Wow. You know what happened in the Bible? Guy turns away because he had great wealth. Well, compared to the entire world, I have great wealth. Okay? Compared to the entire world, you all have great wealth. Okay? In fact, the people that are right at the poverty line in Canada, right at the poverty line, which is about, I'm told in the latest stats, that's the bottom 15% of wealth in Canada. You are still wealthier than 90% of the entire world. Okay? So that's me. So what am I going to do about this? He just said, if I don't give up everything and fall, and he said it there too. In fact, this is more general. The other one was to a specific guy. So people said, well, that was a specific guy. Well, that's to everybody. So I'm grappling with that. What do I do with that now? Okay? I'll tell you, and again, if you got a better way, please share it with us because this is the only thing that gives me sanity. I don't know if I can do that yet, but sorry, Jesus, I'm still going to follow you. I'm going to stumble. I'm not going to get it right. I'm probably even going to be a bad example every once in a while. But I got nothing outside of you, okay? I have no hope outside of you. There's nothing outside of you. So if I don't follow you in my broken, mixed up, imperfect state, there's no hope. I don't know if I'm ever going to get it right. But I'll be danged, because you can say that in church. I'll be danged, okay? I'll be danged if I'm not going to turn my back. I can't. You turn your back, it's over. Okay? You see, he doesn't have to run after you. He already laid down his life for you. He had a bunch of sadistic Italians, you know, torture him to death. Okay? And he laid down his life for us. He can get my attention. Listen, he already did. Okay? And he says, look, this is for you. How's that for immigration screening, eh? My goodness, you can't be a citizen. You got to give up everything. Well, a lot of immigrants, before they come, they do give up everything, you know? Sometimes they, you know, get here with just their lives. Give up everything and you can come in. Well, Jesus says, he also says, because remember, this is one side, okay? He says, whosoever will can come. He's just telling his followers here, you may take this as qualifications for his kingdom, but his grace is free. He accepts everybody. Whoever will may come. What he's doing here, he is describing what a real follower of Christ is. That's the real deal. Whosoever will may come. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a cocky preacher's kid like John Counsel, okay? Saved him, totally, okay? But you see, he wants me to be productive. He wants me to bear fruit. John, I don't expect you to be the goofball you were when you came to me like 40 years ago, okay? He says, you know, I want you to hold to my teaching here. He expects us to grow, especially when he's provided all the power, especially when he's provided all the grace. Now, it's not going to happen overnight. But I'd like to think in an environment like this, we can kind of see growth in each other. We can encourage each other. We can see this kind of stuff happening, okay? He's telling them here what the most powerful evidences are of somebody who is a real, authentic follower of Christ. I want to go back to that verse in Hebrews 11:16. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. That's why I think, and this is just me, okay? That's why I think that the best Canadians are followers of Jesus Christ. I think the best Americans are followers of Jesus Christ. I think that the best French are followers of Jesus. The best Africans, Jews, Arabs, Chinese. Jesus loves the little children, all the children. Yeah. That's good, Bruce. I'm glad you paid attention in Sunday school. Came in. You knew it would come to good use sometime, right? Okay? Bow your heads in prayer with me. Jesus, you got to, by your Holy Spirit, do what needs to be done now, Lord. God, because, like, I can't, like, make it any plainer. That's the best I got, Lord. And I know, Lord, that outside of your power, that it's just talk, Lord. But Lord, you have a way of taking the wonders of your word and the power of your word and making it come to life in our lives in a surprisingly relevant, powerful way. Lord, would you do that in the name of Jesus Christ? One of the best ways that we do that is when we have communion together. He wanted us doing this. We don't get all hung up on doctrine and stuff like that, but we just go by what the Bible says. So I'm going to ask people that are prepared to serve communion, and if you have Christ in your life, and if I'm not saying you're perfect, but you've invited Christ into your life, will you please share the communion with us today? If it's something that you want to back off on and you kind of have a feeling of, whoa, I don't know if I'm ready for that. Well, we respect that too. But don't think you got to be perfect to enter into communion, because if you could be perfect, then there would be no purpose for Christ to die. And we usually read from the scriptures. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes I, you know, talk about what the scriptures say about what it means to participate in the Lord's body. One of the things that he wants us to do is he wants us to judge ourselves, you know? Okay, where do I need to come to the Lord? What do I have to get right before the Lord? And lots of times when we have communion, we pause a few seconds just for people maybe to pray. Maybe for people to, you know, to get something right that they haven't gotten right. That's not a judgment thing. It's just it's an opportunity, okay? So as the plate's being passed, we hold it, we hold the bread or the cracker, whatever you call it there, the emblems of the Lord's broken body is what the Bible calls it. And think about what type of bread to use or anything. So don't think because you're getting a matzah cracker or a gluten-free cracker that, hey, this isn't holy enough. Okay? The Bible doesn't say. Okay? But we hold it together and we take it together as well. Okay? Because we're the body of Christ. This is Christ's church. We do things together. We like being led together. We don't like, you know, just having a church where, you know, well, whatever the pastor says goes. Yeah, right. Okay. We like a church where God is impressing on us, and He's leading us as a group, and communion is such a beautiful way to tie those binds together. Okay. That's what, there's very few things that Jesus wanted us doing. You know, the Catholic Church has got seven sacraments, okay? And they come from the tradition of the Catholic Church, and I don't think any of them are wrong. But in the Bible, there's only two things, two actions that Jesus wanted us doing. He wanted us baptizing, and he wanted us, he said, do this. I want you to do this, and I want you to remember me, okay? So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to wait for everybody to make sure everybody's got the emblems, and you got them together, okay? And I want you to close your eyes. And first of all, thank God that we've got good children's ministries people working right now, okay? Okay, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to take about 15 seconds. If you've got to do some business with Jesus, and you need to talk to him about whatever, okay? You put that to him right now before we partake of the emblems together, okay? You got 15 seconds. Do it now. Maybe 30.